It's Thursday, the 18th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Justin Anderson and Kenneth Fareed. Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and MoobyDoo. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter at RedRock_BBall. And if you want to be a sponsor like MoobyDoo, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. There was a lot of rhyming words in there and I apologize. I didn't mean to make the start of this podcast turn into a Dr. Seuss novel, but if you want to be exactly like MoobyDoo, leave a review, sponsor the podcast for a day, and you can join the exclusive ranks of MoobyDoo and Moneyball.com.au, who is the obviously the naming sponsor of this podcast, and they are Australasia's only daily fantasy sports site. Get involved. They had their biggest tournament to date, ran today, the $8,000 Moneyball Monster. I came in 15th. Not a bad finish. Was looking pretty good in the top 10 at one stage there, so a nice little collect for me, and I hope some of the other listeners finished ahead of me. I know at least one person did, and if you're a listener to the podcast who finished ahead of me, let me know. Or if you got in the money today on Moneyball, please let me know there as well. I mentioned in yesterday's program that there's going to be a big milestone announcement. I tweeted it out today. You may not have seen it, but as of today, the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast for this season, which I count as the start of the preseason, when I started doing the team preview shows, which was in August, we have amassed $500,000 downloads, which to me is it's mind-blowing to me, to be honest, that we've had that many downloads in just 3 months, $500,000 downloads for the podcast. You know, we're on track to crack 1 million downloads for the season. I want to get it obviously sooner rather than later, but that's all thanks to you guys, everyone who is listening and downloading and reviewing and subscribing and pushing the show into the collective consciousness of other people who aren't aware of it. So all credit goes out to everyone who is listening to helping me achieve such an incredible milestone I don't want to sound like an idiot, but if on my behalf, it's an incredible milestone. Not that I'm feeling proud of myself, but it's something that I didn't think that would ever be within reach. Maybe over the course of 5 years, I'd get $500,000, but to amass it within the first 3 months of a season is, I can't get my head around. So a big thanks to all of you guys who helped contribute to that. And thank you to help pushing the podcast out and doing that by subscribing, by reviewing, all that sort of stuff, which is obviously awesome. So thank you, thank you, and thank you. If you are watching this on YouTube, you can subscribe there as well. And you can always watch the show live on YouTube as it is recording. And you can get yourself involved in the podcast, ask some questions, tweet through stuff as the show is going to air. So thank you, thank you, thank you again. All right, we had a huge lot of games on Wednesday. There was 10 games of action. So, Michael,
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. A couple of options that I had here when going through these games, but I decided to go with James Harden. It was an overtime game, so that helped him. The Rockets, obviously lots of turmoil with that team, with the firing of Kevin McHale during the early part of the day. The game, the team taken over by JB Bickerstaff in the interim. Going to be some changes, clearly, in Houston. There's already been one. There's already been two, actually, with Ty Lawson moving to the bench, which we'll cover a little bit later. But James Harden is excellent. 45, 8, and 11. 4 threes, 5 steals, a block. You know there's going to be bad field goal nights from Harden, and 11 of 29 is not ideal. But you know what is ideal? 19 of 20 from the free throw line. And that is just a superb free throw value. The value on that and the Z score on that is just massive. It's up over 7, and that is just huge, and it just gives you such a buffer. It's not enough of a buffer to deal with a week worth of Andre Drummond or DeAndre Jordan or anything like that, but it makes up for some other low free throw guys, you know, like maybe a Jahlil Okafor, like a LeBron James. Harden can deal with that. He can't deal with those other big volume, bad percentage guys, but that is a fantastic free throw line from James Harden. So let's hope that he gets back on track and starts putting up top five numbers. Not like he's been too bad. He's ranked sixth on the season, not too far away. He's averaging actually more points than last season, more threes, more rebounds. He's down on his assists and his steals. I was reading the wrong thing. Let's try that again. He's averaging more points, more threes, more rebounds, less assists, same steals, more blocks, but his field goal percentage is way down. 44% last season, he's at 37. So you know there's some scope for him to come up. And if that comes up, we're going to see even more scoring from him. He's taking 21 shots a game. And I think with Ty Lawson moving to the bench, we might even see him taking some more. The turnovers are out of control, though, 4.8 turnovers a game for James Harden. But if you own James Harden, you're very, very encouraged by this first performance under JB Bickerstaff. And you like, I think everybody likes the idea of James Harden not playing much with Ty Lawson. I can't think of one person who was thrilled with the way things were working with those two sharing basically every single minute in the backcourt together. It was just not ideal. Now, the next nightly award is actually going to be a trio of awards. I'm going to give the waiver wire line of the night, the young gun of the night, and the daily fantasy value play of the night all to one man. And that one man is Nikola Jokic, who put up probably the most surprising line of the season. And that's not because he's no good, because he is really good. And I've stated that many times on this podcast that he is the more talented player in my mind than Joffrey Lavernier. And there's no way he should have been playing behind, you know, crap like JJ Hickson and Darrell Arthur. Well, finally, Mike Malone decided, you know what, it's a good idea. Let's put him out there for some minutes. 32 minutes for Jokic, 23-12. He hit a three. He had two steals. He had three blocks. He went 8-13 from the field, 6-6 from the free throw line. Hit his only three-point attempt, didn't turn the ball over, an absolutely magical performance. On daily fantasy slots, he was minimum salary. He turned in 47 points. So we talk about guys getting five times value. He was at about 13 times value. So that's why you saw tournaments with just ridiculously high scores. If you had him, you were pretty much on you had a very, very good chance of getting a high finish in a tournament. I didn't actually look at the Moneyball tournament as to see whether the first team had him, but I imagine on sites like FanDuel and DraftKings that he would have been right up there. So Nikola Jokic with the big performance, but this is going to lead to a million questions from everybody. Do I add him? Look, I've been pretty steadfast in my take that yes, he's a good player, and yes, he's better than the other guys they're running out there, and yes, he should have been playing 30 minutes a night. But the game before this, he played a grand total of 40 seconds. So what does Mike Malone do? Does he look at this and go, geez, you know what? Jokic, pretty good player. Maybe you should play him. I don't know if Mike Malone's that guy or not. I'm hopeful, but there's the return of Joffrey Lavernier, who is actually playing pretty well as well. There's the return of Jusuf Nurkic as well. So there's going to be three guys, and they're the three guys that should be getting all of those minutes, and even the minutes ahead of Kenneth Faried. I'm not a massive Kenneth Faried fan, if you haven't caught on by now. But does Jokic sustain 30 minutes a night? That's very, very unlikely. You might see two games of it, but Lavernier is expected back maybe the start of next week, maybe this weekend. And then, yes, he'll be eased in, but I can't see them just going completely no Hickson and completely no Arthur. I think that might be a little bit of a struggle. So you know what? I'm looking to add him in 12-team leagues only if I'm dropping someone that's expendable. I'm not dropping a good player for him. I'm not dropping Nikola Mirotic for Nikola Jokic, even though Mirotic's minutes, again, were a little bit annoying today. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. But if there's someone who's not great, if I own Gorgui Dieng, I drop him. If I own Nemanja Bjelica, you know my thoughts on Bjelica, I drop him. If I own Jerian Grant, I'm dropping him. If I own, if I own Rodney Hood, I don't drop him for Nikola Jokic. If I own, I could play this game all day. Who else do I own? If I own Kevin Martin, yeah, I'm okay. Just seeing, look, and maybe Mike Malone goes, whoa, Nikola Jokic, where did this come from? Surely he knows he's a good player though. So hopefully he would have some idea, you know what, this guy's pretty good. But maybe he goes, Jesus, this is like, what's happening? This is a pretty good performance and we're going to make him play big minutes and maybe he holds on to the starting job. I think with a 5% chance that he becomes a starting center and plays 27 minutes a night, it's worth adding him in most situations. But remember, 40 seconds the game before. So it's not like he's in this consistent role and he's been building. This was just one completely out of the box. His per 36 numbers, though, are really, really good. They're fantastic, in fact. 16.5, 10.9, 2.1 steals, 1 block, 56 and 74. They're really good numbers. In a per 36 basis, he's ranked 28th on the season. They're superb. But does he get that role? So based on that, based on the per 36 numbers, based on what we saw today, yeah, I'm happy making a speculative ad in, say, maybe 80% of cases. But to expect it to continue long-term, I reckon you're kidding yourself that he's going to just be, 32 minutes a night, I'm going to go 23 and 12 every night. I don't think there's any chance of that happening. It could. Not any chance. Maybe there's a 5, 10% chance of that happening. But maybe you take that risk and see exactly what happens over the next week, over the next 2 weeks, when Lavernier comes back, when we hear any skerrick of news on Yusuf Nurkic, which is pretty hard to... And the Nuggets training staff, pain in the ass at the moment. Wilson Chandler, you'll be back soon, 2 weeks, not out for the season. Yusuf Nurkic, we don't hear anything. Joffrey Lavernier has been questionable every game this season. No, he's right. No, he's not. I don't know what to make of all these things from their big men. But as I said, the overall takeaway here, Jokic, good per 36 producer, minutes are in flux. If they hold steady, going to be a great option. So he captured three awards tonight. The dud of the night definitely wasn't Nikola Jokic. Was a big man, though. Can you guess who it was? It was Nerlens Noel. 24 minutes for Nerlens. A bit of trickery from the Sixers before the game. We're benching Nerlens Noel, and we're going to start Jeremy Grant. Not Jeremy Grant. Sorry, Jeremy Grant was already starting. Who were they going to start? Anyway, they were starting someone over. Oh no, that's right. Yeah, they were going to start. Yeah, they were going to start Grant and Covington, and put Nerlens Noel on the bench. And then they said, "Nah, just joking." Covington goes back to the bench, and Noel goes back and starts because the Pacers rolled out a big lineup. Well, in the end, Noel, it didn't matter if he was starting or on the bench because he put up just a terrible, terrible line. 2 points, three rebounds. Nothing else. It did come out after the game that he's dealing with some knee tendonitis, and that is not ideal, but he's been a little bit of a disappointment this season. 10.6 points only, 8.7 rebounds, and both of those numbers are higher than what he did last season, but the big difference here is that he was at 2 blocks a game last year. He's at 1.2, and his steals have dropped a little bit, and his field goal percentage is down from 46 to 39.6. So many of these guys' early season struggles is to do with poor shooting. And that's something that can be corrected. He's taking three more shots per game. Now, some of them, he's taking them from further out because of the presence of Jahlil Okafor, but he's not going to be a sub 40% shooter. Same goes for guys like Danny Green and guys who are just really struggling with this horrible field goal percentage. It's not like they're not, they're not doing the other things that sustain their value. He's getting rebounds. The steals are still 1.6, really good for a big man. The blocks are a little bit low, so you may be a little bit concerned there. He's taking more shots. So if he gets back to 45 or 46%, then he becomes a 13-point guy. 13 and 9, 1.5 steals, 1.5 blocks. You're looking a little bit better with Nerlens Noel. The turnovers are out of control though. 3.3 a game. He needs to get better. The knee maybe is bothering him. Is it a buy-low moment? I think it is. I think it's a very much a buy-low moment. Because, a lot of people were sort of scoffing. Oh, Nerlens Noel, that high in your rankings. Is he a third-round guy? Yes, I thought he was. He hasn't been that yet, but I'm very confident that he can get back to that level. All he needs to do is get that field goal percentage up, get a couple more blocks, and we're sweet. So don't be too concerned about the performance of Nerlens Noel. There's a little bit of worry there, but... Please, it's about a 0.5 out of 100 as to how much I'm actually worried about Nerlens Noel not being a good player or not being a good fantasy guy. Skerrick of worry, but overall, in the whole scheme of things, it doesn't really mean a huge amount. Now, about to head into the box scores. Before I do that, though, got some interesting information to announce. We do have a new sponsor for the podcast. And that new sponsor, if you're watching along live, is the No Halftime app. You can use the promo code DUNK and get yourself $25 just by typing that promo code when you sign up. $25 free. Now, No Halftime is a new daily fantasy type of app. And just imagine, you're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and you're thinking to yourself, I want to challenge one of their guys. So you've got Jahlil Okafor on your team and they've got Karl Anthony Towns. And you go, you know what? I don't like this situation for Towns. I think Okafor is going to be better. It's like one-on-one DFS, basically. On No Halftime app, that's what you can do. You can go out there and take on challenges of one player versus another player. You can put Kristaps Porzingis against Karl Anthony Towns. You can put LeBron James against Carmelo Anthony. You can put James Harden against Steph Curry. You know, creating one of these challenges is really easy, and accepting it on the app is even easier. You can do public ones, so throw a challenge out, anyone else goes and accept it, challenge your friends, and you know, put your dollar amount on there and win. It's as straightforward as it gets, really. It covers all sports apart from, including NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, college football, college basketball, and some others. So if you're, and this is for you guys, especially in the US, download the No Halftime app, which is available in the App Store on iPhones. Sign up, use the promo code DUNK. Help support Red Rock Basketball. I know you love supporting this podcast. Get out there, do that. Get yourself 25 free bucks and try and win some money. It is one-on-one daily fantasy. That's as straightforward as it is. You know, tomorrow's games, you might want to have a look and have a look at who's playing tomorrow. Say the Warriors are playing the Clippers. Okay, we're going to have Chris Paul out for the Warriors. Do I put Austin Rivers up against Klay Thompson? Maybe you can get some people to take you on a bet there. Klay's been struggling. Rivers is going to play big minutes. Maybe you can win yourself some money there. Go out there, create the matchups, one-on-one daily fantasy. It doesn't get much easier than that, and that's how you do it with the No Halftime app. So, and a big thank you to No Halftime for coming on and being a sponsor of the podcast. And go ahead and show them what the Red Rock listeners can do to help support businesses that support me and help keep this show running. So get out there and use that promo code DUNK. It's easy. It's four letters, DUNK. And you know what? They give you 25 free bucks. You can play around with that. You can win money. You can, you know, you can win money using that for free. Get involved. Use the No Halftime app. And that's it. We are done with the ads for today. So thank you for listening on in and just, yeah, make sure you check out No Halftime and really help the podcast. It's awesome when you can support these advertisers who are starting to come on and show them that we mean business and we can be a powerful force in helping to support their products. All right, let's now talk about the games in more detail. You can see now, if you are watching the video, it is up. The box scores are up on the screen. Let's get into them. The Indiana Pacers and the Philadelphia 76ers up first. Big win for the Pacers. I thought there was going to be a concern with Paul George being a blowout and him not getting his minutes for daily fantasy anyway. Yeah, well, that didn't happen. He played 32 minutes, went 34, 8 and 5, 5 threes and 4 steals. Another huge night from Paul George and a big night from CJ Miles, 22 and 4 with 4 threes. I maintain that Miles is definitely a guy that you want in 12-team leagues. There'll be some struggles, but he's got a pretty good role on this team. Monte Ellis, I thought he'd been for a pretty decent night. And when you look at him scoring 7 points, you go, that's pretty yuck. But he was distributing a lot. 9 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. You actually should be really happy with that line. It is not a terrible line. He only took 7 shots and he scored 7 points. That's not ideal. But 9 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks is really good for Monte as he played the point guard role. Chase Budinger off the bench went 15 and 6 with a couple of blocks. Jan Mahimi had 3 steals, 2 blocks, and 7 rebounds. And he's doing exactly what you want him to do as that center. And Lavoie Allen got the start and he was really productive in only 19 minutes. 7 and 6 with a steal and a block. Jordan Hill came off the bench for 21 minutes, 10 and 7, while Mighty Joe Young, had 4 points with 2 steals in his 21 minutes. There was no George Hill and no Rodney Stuckey for the Pacers. For the Sixers, TJ McConnell, he started. He only played 20 minutes, though. He was still awesome. 16, 6, and 3 with 2 threes. 7 of 9 shooting, unrealistic. Still has yet to attempt one single free throw on the season, which is getting... it's getting baffling. I wonder how long he can actually go without attempting a free throw. We'll see how long that lasts. But at the moment, it's a pretty impressive streak that he's putting up of not attempting a free throw. My thoughts on him stay the same. He's must own now. By the time the calendar clicks to 2016, he'll be an afterthought. I remember when TJ McConnell was good because I don't imagine him holding much value moving forward. I mentioned that Jeremy Grant was flip-flopped in and out of the starting lineup. He played 29 minutes, 13 and 4 with 3 blocks. He can be a really interesting fantasy guy, but he's going to be inconsistent. Robert Covington, 23 minutes off the bench in his second game back, 8 and 5, 2 steals, 1 block. What you have to be encouraged with Covington is the fact that he took 13 shots. He didn't hit them. He wasn't great there, and he missed all 5 of his 3-pointers. He is going to become a top 70 player in a matter of a couple of weeks. Jill Okafor, a little bit quiet, 14 and 6. And Nick Stauskas, 21 minutes, 7 points, and then a lot of ones. 1 3, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. Don't like the way that his minutes are trending. Definitely, I could see the Sixers starting to go, well, you know what, Stauskas, it's not working. Let's go with more Covington and more Grant, assuming that, you know, the Grant continues to provide this offensive impact that he's having at the moment. And if Hollis Thompson, you know, played 27 minutes here. So Stauskas, I did like what he was doing. I liked the way he started the season. He was getting minutes. He was getting lots of shot attempts. But it's been really marginalized lately. So he's not a guy that I think is a must hold anymore. I still like his potential to put up some decent numbers, but it's beyond worrying at this point with the way that he's being limited in terms of his production or his playing time, really. The Brooklyn Nets and the Charlotte Hornets. Jarrett Jack, again, this is why he was one of the best late-round picks. 16, 8, and 9, 2 threes and 2 blocks. And he is not owned in every league, and that is... it's pretty stupid to me. He has to be owned pretty much... He has to be owned everywhere. Thad Young, 27 and 8, having a really good season. And Brook Lopez, 23, 5, and 3 with 2 blocks. So those three guys putting up nice numbers. A couple of good games in a row from Joe Johnson, 16, 4, and 3 with 3 threes. And these guys are all locked into roles and minutes, and no one's taking them away. The other guys, yeah, Shane Larkin, 6 points, 6 assists in 20 minutes. That's good for a deep league. Bojan Bogdanovic, I thought he was really trending up. Not so much anymore. 18 minutes for him, 2 points. And Rondae Hollis-Jefferson had 5 points in 25 minutes. The rest of the bench, there's not a lot to get excited about there. But if you're a massive fan of Markel Brown, he played 5 minutes and put up 0 points. 0 rebounds, 0 assists. So pretty much just like a standard start for Markel Brown. Onto the Charlotte Hornets, Nick Batum bounced back from a stinker. He played 41 minutes and went 24 points, 8 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. And, I love Nick Batum. Marvin Williams had a much better night than what he had in the game against the Knicks. 14-9, 2 threes, a steal, and a block. So a good night from Marvin Williams. Cody Zeller got the start. Again, 14 minutes, not a great performance from him. 0 points, 5 rebounds, while Frank Kaminsky had his best game. 23 minutes, 11 points, a triple one, 3 rebounds. He's definitely not a guy that you want to own in anything outside of dynasties or really deep leagues. Kemba Walker, 18, 7, and 7 with 3 threes. When you see Kemba Walker go 5 of 9 from the field and 5 of 10 from the free throw line, you know things are a little bit weird. Overall, a pretty nice night from him. Jeremy Lamb, this is the Jeremy Lamb that we remember. 2 of 7 from the field for 6 points and 3 rebounds. And this is why I've been a little bit hesitant to jump all in on him being actually a good player and a usable fantasy player, because the minutes still aren't trending up towards 30. Got 21 here, even without PJ Hairston playing. Jeremy Lin got the bulk of the minutes, 29 for Lin, 13 and 9. And if Lamb's shot's not falling, he's really not providing anything else. And it was really unrealistic to expect him to continue shooting at a 56% clip. He's also not going to shoot at 29%. He's going to be somewhere in the middle, but he's not going to be that. My God, look at Jeremy Lamb, the greatest shooter of all time. It's not going to be something that happens all that often, I wouldn't have thought, although it happened way too much for my liking, because it made me look like an idiot for a week or so. It might continue to do. We'll see. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Orlando Magic. Karl Anthony Towns, he's pretty good. 21 and 12 for him, 6 blocks, elite shooting. I said that in 3 years' time, he'd be a top 10 fantasy player. I'm probably wrong on that, because there's a chance that he is by the end of next season. He is just putting up numbers. He just looks comfortable. The percentages are there. He just looks like he's going to be the complete package. And I was having a chat today with Kyle McEwen and Mark Roberts, and we were talking about how it's just accepted that Anthony Davis is going to be the next best player in the league. What if it's not? What if it's Towns? What if Towns overtakes him? What if Davis can't shake the injuries? What if Towns just becomes that next guy? He's got that sort of potential. Andrew Wiggins had 28 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 blocks, a pretty decent night from him. And we had a Gorgui Dieng sighting, and not in terms of big minutes, because he only played 21, but on the stat sheet, 7-7, 2 steals, 5 blocks. This is what he can do, and this is what's frustrating. What I did like is the fact that they played him with Towns. Thank God, Sam Mitchell, because the fact that he was playing only as a backup was infuriating to me. He looked better, and the stats were there. I'm still not thinking, look, if you've held on to him, in a 12 or 10 team league, you keep holding after this, definitely. But it feels like it's going to be hard for him to approach 28 or 29 minutes, and that's going to make it hard for him to have. Look, he's not going to get 5 blocks in 21 minutes very often, and that's going to limit his usefulness. But it was good just to get that reassurance. You know what? This guy's actually good at accumulating stats. It's just about his role. KG sat out this game. So, of course, Adrian Payne got the start, and equally, of course, Adrian Payne was terrible. 0 of 6 shooting, 5 rebounds. Those 16 minutes should have gone to Gorgui Dieng. It's just play Towns and Dieng together. Play them today. It worked well. Ricky Rubio, what an odd line from Ricky Rubio. 8 points, but 12 rebounds and 12 assists and a steal. The shooting was poor as usual, but he is an elite fantasy player in those punt field goal percentage builds. Zach LaVine played 30 minutes off the bench, so he played behind Rubio. He played alongside Rubio as well, and he is limiting Kevin Martin, and I like him playing off the ball. 14-3-3 with two threes. He's not a point guard. He's also not a great player, but he can rack up fantasy stats. So this is, you know, where I was talking yesterday. Hold on to him. See what he does. Yeah, Rubio played 35. LaVine played 30. I think you can keep holding LaVine in 12-team leagues for the time being. Another inexplicable 30 minutes for Tayshaun Prince, but we don't worry about that. And the flavor of the week, 2 weeks ago, Nemanja Bjelica, that's three stinkers in a row. 19 minutes for him, 3 points, four rebounds. He fouled out in those 19 minutes. He hit a three, but you've heard my reservations on him a lot. I do not think that he's a must-hold player. The things that were inflating his value were great rebounding, but he was taking no shots and he was hitting every one of his threes. And that was impacting what he was, how his overall rank was coming up. And yeah, I just don't think that he's a guy that he's a must-hold player anymore. Now, a lot of people have been waiting to hear me talk about the Magic. I've had a lot of people tweeting at me saying they want to hear Scott Skiles called a dickhead. It's some pretty dickheadish moves that he made, to be honest. I can understand to shake things up a little bit that you want to, all these guys aren't playing well, and that's fine. You know, Victor Oladipo and Nick Vucevic weren't playing that well. But to bench them to start the second half, that's fine. And then just to not play them, to play 20 minutes for Victor Oladipo and 16 for Nick Vucevic, it's stupid. You know, Skiles is known as a meddler. He's a fantasy owner's nightmare. Nobody is safe. The only thing you can predict at the moment, which is the most unpredictable thing of them all, is that Evan Fournier is going to lead the league in minutes. That's the only thing you can predict at the moment. And if you had said that at the start of the season, you would have said, Josh, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to revoke your microphone because you shouldn't be on a podcast anymore saying that you actually follow the NBA. Because if you thought Evan Fournier was going to lead the league in minutes, which is what he's doing at the moment, if you even thought that Evan Fournier was going to start, you probably would have been, yeah, come on, let's be serious. It's Evan Fournier, and I'm Evan Fournier's biggest fan. To predict that he was going to do that is nothing that would have happened. And then to bench Victor Oladipo and Nick Vucevic and replace them with Channing Frye and Dewayne Dedmon, what are you doing? Just put Aaron Gordon in there, put Mario Hezonja in there. Don't put spuds like Channing Frye in there. Why play Andrew Nicholson 22 minutes? 8-7 for Andrew Nicholson. Why? What are you doing? Don't panic on Victor Oladipo. Don't panic on Nick Vucevic. Just be prepared that Skiles is going to pull the rug out from you at more than one time this year. We've seen it already with Lord Alfred Payton, who then in this game was all of a sudden, you know, Skiles' best mate. 41 minutes for Payton, 24-7-6 with four steals. That's an amazing line. So I hope everyone who panicked on Payton earlier on are a little more calm now. Aaron Gordon, he pretty much can't own him at the moment. 5-2-2 in 14 minutes with two blocks. You take Oladipo out, you take Vucevic out, and you play Gordon 14 minutes. Have a think about it, Scotty. Toby Harris, 12-11 in 42 minutes. Not all that efficient from him. And the rest of the lineup, just a mess. And the thing that pisses me off even more is they won. And you know, Skiles going to go and pat himself on the back and go, you know what, Scotty, you did a good job, mate. You really made the right decision by putting these absolute idiots out there and playing them minutes. You know, it's good being a dickhead. I can see that going through his head. Hopefully this doesn't happen again, and I'm not panicking on Oladipo, I'm not panicking on Vucevic, but it's clearly frustrating for daily fantasy players, for seasonal fantasy players. Just not an ideal situation if you are one of those guys who invested in them, and Victor Oladipo is a guy I've been invested in this season a lot. The Dallas Mavericks and the Boston Celtics. The Mavericks have won 5 in a row. Put your hand up if you thought that would happen to start this season. Not me. Darren Williams. This is something I did see happening, though. He's been really good. 16-3-6, 2 threes, 2 steals and a block. Loved what he's doing. 37 minutes. Clearly a must-own player. Clearly not someone you're looking to drop. Yes, there's always a risk with him, but this is really nice what you're seeing from him. Dirk, 23-7. He's just been, it's hard to sell high, but I think you have to, but he has been so efficient, it's not funny. And Zaza Pachulia bounced back after a two-point performance. He played 32 minutes, went 14-12 in a block, and again, he's not owned everywhere. Please make sure he is. Wesley Matthews, 33 minutes, 18-2-3 with three threes. It's great that he got to 33 minutes and scored 18 points. He's still not really close to top 100 value at the moment. You'd think that would start to improve, but there's still the risk that maybe he's just not going to contribute in other areas, and there's going to be good games and bad games, which we pretty much know is going to happen. Chandler Parsons, 21 minutes, 8 points. I'm glad that he's over 20 minutes for two games in a row. That's about all I can say there. And Dwight Powell with a solid 6-6 and 2 blocks in his 23 minutes. Onto the Celtics. Marcus Smart, oh, a real stinker here. 2 points, four rebounds, an assist, and a steal. Still not panicking with him at all after a couple of good games. But Jared Sullinger just continues to actually make Brad Stevens play a consistent rotation. And that's awesome for us. 30 minutes for Sullinger, 18 and 12 with a three and a steal. Great. Must own. Amir Johnson's even getting 28 minutes, 6 and 5 with a steal. He's not as must own, but it's good that he's in a consistent role. Olynyk played 13 minutes, David Lee played 15, and Jonas Jerebko played 5. I can live with that sort of rotation. I obviously want Olynyk to play a little bit more, but Sullinger is just, he's clearly the best big man with the way he's playing at the moment. I'll put it that way. Isaiah Thomas continues to start. Maybe this is the way that it goes, and I wouldn't be shocked because Avery Bradley looks really good off the bench. Thomas looks really good starting. 19 points, 6 assists, 2 steals for Thomas. Avery Bradley went 18, 6 and 3 with 4 steals and 3 threes. That is a massive line from Avery Bradley, and he's looked really good the last couple of games, and maybe this 6-man role is going to suit him moving forward, and you know, that means that he's definitely a 12-team guy if he's going to get numbers like that and he moves into that Isaiah Thomas role off the bench, because he was a point guard when he came into the league. He's transitioned to more of a shooting guard, but he played a lot of point early on. Yeah, he played behind Rajon Rondo. So maybe he's transitioning back to that sixth man, handling the ball, scoring sort of role, and it's definitely agreeing with him. A couple of really good games in a row from Avery Bradley. The next game is the Portland Trailblazers and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets out of nowhere to win this game in overtime. CJ McCollum for the Blazers, 19, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, continues to put up really, really good numbers. Been a fantastic season from him. Mason Plumlee, 9-4 and 4 with 6 blocks in 35 minutes. Al-Farouq Aminu, 16 and 15 with a steal and a block, and that's where his potential is. A poor shooting night, but that's what he can do. And Damian Lillard struggled early, but started getting it going later on. Hit all 10 of his free throws, 23 points. Not a lot else, but the 2 steals are handy. Now, the replacement for Myers Leonard, Noah Vonleh started this one, which, you know what, I got it right. I predicted that Noah Vonleh would start this one after Chris Kaman, then Vonleh, then Kaman, then back to Vonleh. I predicted he'd start, but he played 13 minutes. What's the point? 4 and 6, and that's really productive in 13 minutes. Like, that's awesome. He plays 26 minutes, he goes 8 and 12, and you go, you know what, that's a pretty good night from Noah Vonleh. But only 13 minutes, so that's not ideal. Harkless played 19 minutes. Chris Kaman didn't get off the bench. Ed Davis played 18 minutes, and consistency-wise, Ed Davis is just getting those same minutes. But Alan Crabb, he is on fire at the moment. 15 points for Crabb, 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. He's cementing himself as a really decent wing player. Now, he's averaging over the last week 25 minutes, almost 12 points, almost 2 threes, 3 rebounds, half a steal. But he's red hot. He's shooting 63% from the field. I'm pretty sure he's not going to continue that. His last 2 seasons, he's shot 36 and 41. He's not a 60% shooter. That's going to come down. And he's not doing enough in other areas to make me think that, yeah, he's a must-own. He's a deeper league guy only, but he's looking pretty good, and he's providing a pretty important role for this Blazers team without Myers Leonard, who it's looking like is going to be back pretty soon. Having a lot of questions about Myers Leonard. Do I stash him? If you've got an IR, then yeah, grab him and add him into your IR spot. If you don't have an IR spot, not sure that it's worth missing maybe a week more of games from that active position. It really depends on, I guess, who you're dropping and how comfortable you are with your team and all that sort of stuff, because he was obviously struggling even before the injury. So I've still got big hopes for Myers Leonard, but he's not a mustache player to me. On to the Rockets, Dwight Howard. And a really odd night for him stat-wise. 2 of 5 from the field, only took 5 shots, 7 points, but 19 rebounds, a steal, 3 blocks. His offense has dropped so dramatically the last couple of seasons, but he's still able to get it done rebound-wise, block shots-wise. The good thing is he played 40 minutes here. Now, whether that impacts him moving forward, it's yet to be seen. Trevor Ariza, 37 minutes, 18 and 8 with 4 threes. And Jason Terry got the start ahead of Ty Lawson. That must be demoralizing for a guy like Ty Lawson to have Jason Terry start. 29 minutes for Terry, 5 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. We don't care about Jason Terry for fantasy, but it affects Ty Lawson. He played 20 minutes, and you know what? He was still bad. 2 points, 1 assist, 1 steal. There's been a lot of thoughts that, and I thought even so, that Lawson moving to the bench might help his fantasy value. Well, you know what? It didn't. He was terrible. And yeah, I'm pretty much in a 10-team league. I don't see why you need to keep Ty Lawson. In a 12-team league, I can sort of make a case for it, but he's been yuck. When Patrick Beverley comes back, yeah, Beverley and Harden was the best combination anyway. That's what you needed to do in that backcourt. That's what, you know, I said 50 million times in the preseason, maybe an exaggeration, but it's what needed to happen. So I can see Beverley moving back in, playing 27 minutes, Lawson playing 20 minutes off the bench, and rendering Lawson useless for fantasy leagues, and Beverley, Yeah, pretty close. He might hit 2 threes a game, but he's not going to do too much more there unless you're after exactly what he provides. It's clear that the Marcus Thornton experiment is done. 15 minutes for him, 3 points, nothing to see there. And Clint Capella in a backup role went 4-4 with a steal and a block in 13 minutes. That's why it's hard to stash him. Big night from Corey Brewer as well, 16 points, including that game-tying three to send the game to overtime. The next game up, the Sacramento Kings and the Atlanta Hawks. Big game from Rajon Rondo, another triple-double, his fourth of the season, 12, 12, and 10 with a steal. It's a real low-end triple-double, and I've talked about this last season a lot, that a triple-double is great, and people love triple-doubles. Oh my God, it's a triple-double, it's a triple-double. But 12, 12, and 10 is not a great line. No, that's not true. It's pretty good, but 12 points is below average. He didn't hit a three. He had one steal, no blocks. The 10 assists is nice. The 12 rebounds is nice. But what makes 12, 12, and 10 better than 46 and 8? I don't know that it necessarily is. But because it's called a triple-double, it seems better. Overall, he was good. Darren Collison returned, so his minutes got cut way back down to 31. He's obviously still a must-own, but the time to sell high on Rondo is done unless someone in your league really believes in triple-doubles. And it's possible. People are big triple-double people. Let's phrase it again. There are a lot of people who are triple-double people. And reference in a trade discussion, oh, yeah, but he had 4 triple-doubles. And if that's one of the people you're going up with, sell Rondo. Hey, mate, you know what? He had a triple-double even when Darren Collison was playing. Use that to sell because his defense wasn't ideal today. He had 7 turnovers, not great. There's going to be worse nights than this. Rudy Gay, 14-6, 3 assists, 2 steals, solid night from him. DeMarcus Cousins, he hit another 3. That's not stopping. It doesn't look like 24-12, 3 assists, 9 of 11 from the free throw line. So you're really happy there. But there's the risk that he gets suspended. He threw an elbow to Al Horford, hit him in the head. The ref didn't see it, but they are going to review it. He might get suspended, so be aware of that. Kostas Koufos at 21 minutes was really good, 13-6 with a steal. And if Cousins is out, Koufos looks to get 5 or 6 minute increase. That would make him an awesome play for daily fantasy. Seasonal, it's a stream option, and that's really about it. But just have a listen to see what happens with Cousins. Ben McLemore started, 18 minutes, yuck. Darren Collison's back, 28 minutes for him, 7, 2, and 5 with 2 steals. And I'll reiterate again, Collison needs to be owned everywhere. Great to see that Great to see that Quincy Acey started and played 16 minutes because why is Quincy Acey playing minutes? I don't get it. 0 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist. Corley Stein played 14 minutes. He has no real purpose in standard leagues. 5 rebounds, nothing else. He's just not going to get minutes. If Quincy Ace is getting minutes ahead of him, you know you're in trouble. Onto the Hawks. Paul Millsap, he's pretty awesome. 23-16, 3 steals, 2 blocks. And Al Horford went 17 and 2 blocks. Not much else for Horford, so a bit of a weird night. But Dennis Schroeder really took advantage of the fact that there was no Jeff Teague. 22-2-6 with 3 threes. Teague looks like he could be back for the next game, so Schroeder's value might dip. But they also might start Schroeder next to Teague because they went with Justin Holiday here. He struggled, 6 points with a couple of threes in 18 minutes. The other names don't really inspire you with that much confidence. Thabo Sefolosha was not great. He played 21 minutes, and he said that his ankle's sore. That's not ideal. Shelvin Mack, Lamar Patterson, Schroeder's going to be the best option here. So even if Teague comes back, we might see Schroeder playing 29, 30 minutes next to him in the next game. So if you added him, I'm not dropping him yet. Kyle Korver, 8-5-2 with a couple of threes, and really not a huge amount to talk about. Good to see Thiago Splitter having a decent game. Now 20 minutes, 7-6 doesn't seem like much, but it is in 20 minutes. Much better than the 12 minutes he got yesterday, and I'm still going to keep banging the Thiago Splitter drum that he is just getting underused, and I don't really understand all the reasons behind it. The Pelicans, the Anthony Davis-less Pelicans. Ryan Anderson played 44 minutes, 30-7, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 4 threes. It was always a big opportunity for him. But the guy I really like who took on the big opportunity was Alexey Ajinsa, 23 minutes for Ajinsa. 12-10, 2 blocks. You know I've been really high on him. He projects really well from a per 36 per possession basis. If we know that he's going to play minutes when Davis is out, then yeah, you look to stream him in standard leagues. But is it going to happen? He's been sort of all over the place with Alvin Gentry. Dante Cunningham played 27, 9-6. Alonso G started, and he's one of the biggest zeros in the league at the moment. 31 minutes for G, 3 points, six rebounds, a steal, and a block. And Ish Smith got the start in place of Drew Holiday, who was resting, 18, 3, and 6. So probably not as great as you were anticipating, but still a pretty decent night from Ish Smith. Eric Gordon, 18 points, 5 assists, 3 steals. Bad, bad shooting, but he just continues to be a really, really good fantasy player. Russell Westbrook, no Kevin Durant, so what do we expect? We expect something huge. 43, 9, and 8. A steal, a block, 14 of 25, and 15 of 20 from the line. Just a huge night from Westbrook. And finally, after I called out Billy Donovan for about the last three shows, Enes Kanter, yes, he got that minutes increase. He played 31 and went 24 and 14. He did nothing else, but it was great to see him getting those minutes. If that's consistent, you can own him. But if he's getting single digits, or not single digits, if he's getting in the teens like he got about the last three or four games before this, it's hard. It's hard to hold on. Andre Robertson returned 8 and 8 in 29 minutes, probably his best performance of the season, but we don't get too excited about that. And Steven Adams, a really odd night for him, 11 minutes only. Not foul trouble, 2 rebounds, 1 block, nothing else. Yuck. Serge Ibaka, terrible as well, 6 and 5. On 2 of 11 shooting. He did add a block and a steal though, so not a complete waste. And Dion Wade is 4 and 4 in 31 minutes. A real odd night for a lot of the Thunder players. The Denver Nuggets and the San Antonio Spurs. Last night we had a big Gary Harris game. Today we had a Nikola Jokic game. And we had a pretty okay Gary Harris game as well. 15 and 2, 2 steals and a 3. That's 2 good games in a row from Harris. It doesn't mean I'm looking to grab him, but what it does is if Harris is playing that well, it might have impact Will Barton, who's been everyone's boyfriend in terms of, oh, let's pick up Will Barton, and I'm all behind that. But this, the problem with Will Barton is today he played 22 minutes, 9, 4, and 5, a steal and a block. And just when he gets on a roll and he's playing 32 minutes, 3 games in a row, he goes down to this. And it happened as well before, you know, the day when Wilson Chandler was announced to be out for the season, Will Barton played 17 minutes. So he's not that good that he's locked into a 30-minute a night role. He's going to be limited at times. He's not a good player in general. He's just not a great player. He's going to have streaky shooting. He's shooting way above his career numbers, and that is due to regress, and that might impact his playing time. Maybe Malone's going out there because this guy's just on the biggest hot streak of his life. We run with him. There's a risk. He has to be owned, don't get me wrong, but if you have to bet me that he's going to finish top 50 the rest of the season, I'm clearly taking the under on that. JJ Hickson, 6 and 7 in 16 minutes, hooray. Emmanuel Mudiay, 27 minutes, not an ideal night for him. 5, 3, and 7. 2 of 12 shooting. He's really struggling at the moment. He's giving you some nice assists and occasionally rebounds, but really, really struggling. You pretty much can't own him in a rotisserie league at this point. And a head-to-head league, he's ownable, but he is costing you in a number of areas. The Spurs, Tim Duncan, 12 and 11, 6 assists, 6 blocks. I don't think this guy's ever not going to be good. It just doesn't appear that's going to be the case. Kawhi went 20 and 8, 2 steals, 3 threes, a block. He's up there. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And Tony Parker, 25 and 9. That's what happens when you play the Nuggets. A big night from Tony Parker. Patty Mills also had 17 and 6 with 3 threes off the bench. Danny Green, update. What happened? Not much. 2 threes, 8 points. 4 assists, a block, and a 3. And you know what? That's not terrible. It's still 2 of 6 shooting, but he had 2 threes. He gave you a block. Getting back into it, Danny Green. Again, the minutes are still there. Everything else is still there. He just needs to hit his shots. LaMarcus Aldridge, 11 of 12. He needs to hit his shots as well. 4 of 14, 2 blocks. Had a question come through to me today who someone drafted him at pick 10 in their draft. They panicked and drafted him there. And they go, what's a realistic value to sell him for? Okay, if you can get anyone in the top 50, I reckon you're laughing, because I think that there's a struggle that he finishes inside that top 50. He might finish at 50, but he's really struggling this season. There's no doubt about it. From a fantasy point of view, he's just not retaining that value of where a lot of people were picking him. And that's at the end of the second round, mid-second round stuff, end of the first round in some cases, which at the time would seem dumb to me. But some people made that decision, and it, people make just dumb decisions all the time. I made a lot of dumb decisions in drafts. But LaMarcus Aldridge at the moment, if you want to sell, if you get a top 50, you pretty much have to accept it. The Raptors and the Jazz, as predicted, pretty low scoring. Kyle Lowry, 23 and 6, 3 steals. DeMar DeRozan went 14, 3 and 6. So pretty standard nights from them. A big night from Luis Scola. He does this about once every 4 or 5 games. 22-5 with a couple of threes and 30 minutes, while Patrick Patterson was reduced to 0 points in his 16 minutes. Jonas Valanciunas, 11-9 with a couple of blocks. That's more like it from Jonas. Good to see him getting back out there and doing that. And Corey Joseph only played 22 minutes. It's a little bit annoying, but you know he's been that good lately. I think we can forgive him. And Damari Carroll, another one of these players we talked about earlier, who's started the season numbers are so impacted by just the shot not falling. He was 2 of 8 for 7 points, but he still had 6 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block. Again, he hits 4 of those shots instead of 2 of them. You know, we're talking 11 and 6 with 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block, and it looks a lot better all of a sudden. 7 points just looks really ugly. Single digits in scoring always looks ugly, no matter what follows it, and it's hard to get past that that stigma of single-digit scoring. If you're affected by the stigma of single-digit scoring, please see your doctor. That was terrible. Sorry for that bad joke. The Utah Jazz, Rodney Hood, 16-6, 4 assists, 2 threes, really playing well, 35 minutes for him. And it doesn't impact Alec Burksaw. He still had 27 minutes, played a lot at point as well, 13-2-2, a triple-one, a big night from him. Harold Neto, he's garbage, 6 points. Trey Burke down to 18 minutes, and that's because they were running Burks at point guard a lot. 10 points for Burke still in, that's Trey Burke, in his 18 minutes, 2 threes and 2 steals. If you did own him, I think you just hold to see what this trend brings out, but it's not looking great. Rudy Gobert, 7-5 with 2 blocks. I mentioned the other day, if you picked Jimmy Butler in the second round, were you happy? If you picked Rudy Gobert in the second round, are you happy? Are you disappointed? Because I don't think he's been great, to be honest. He's been all right. He hasn't been terrible, but he I don't think he would have lived up to the spot where a lot of people would have picked him. So if you did draft Rudy Gobert, let me know what your thoughts are. He's averaging 8.8 points, 11 rebounds, 3 blocks, 53%, and 58 from the free throw line. And that's impacting his overall value a lot, those free throws. But so is the lack of scoring, and so is the lack of anything else. Even though his rebounds are really big, like they're big rebound numbers, 11 a game, 3 blocks is awesome. Are you happy that you drafted him? I want to hear your opinion. Derek Favors, 18-11. Good night from him. Gordon Hayward, 17-7. Not a great shooting night, but it's still an okay sort of fantasy production night from Gordo. The Bulls and the Suns. Talked about Jimmy Butler before and say, were you disappointed? Well, hopefully you weren't disappointed with this. 43 minutes, 32 points, 3 threes, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal without Derek Rose. I think we can expect more of that if Rose misses more time. And hopefully we can expect more of Kirk Heinrich playing 24 minutes. 14 points for Heinrich, 2 threes, 6 assists, and a steal. And of course, I'm extremely sarcastic. He went 6 of 7 from the field. Kirk Heinrich should not be getting stats like this. Do not buy into it at all. Pau Gasol, 17-8 with 2 steals and a block in 28 minutes. And Nikola Mirotic, he actually looked decent. Like the shot still wasn't falling, 4 of 12, but 10-5 with 2 steals, 3 assists, and 2 threes is not a bad effort in 21 minutes. So I was a little bit more encouraged. I'm obviously a little bit disappointed that he just wouldn't get more minutes, and that Taj Gibson played 27 and offered nothing, and Joakim Noah didn't score in his 20 minutes. I had 11 rebounds. I just want Mirotic to play more minutes. It's still not making much sense to me with the way that Hoiberg is running it. Aaron Brooks played 20 minutes, and he had a hamstring strain, so that's what allowed Heinrich to get those minutes. So I can't be too harsh. I can't be too harsh on Hoiberg there. Itwan Moore would be the other guy that I'd look to give minutes to. He played 14 and had 4 points. Tony Snell, the big zero, 19 minutes for him. I wish it was 19 points. 19 minutes, 0 points. There's nothing to like about Tony Snell. And Doug McDermott had 8-5 in 25 minutes off the bench. From the Suns, PJ Tucker had his best game, 20-7. Not much else. Let's not care about that. 21-6-7 for Eric Bledsoe. A couple of threes, a couple of steals. While Brandon Knight dropped in 23 with not a triple double, but some other pretty nice numbers. 4 assists and a steal and a three. He is okay. Tyson Chandler just continues to struggle. 6-9 in 31 minutes, 2 steals and a block, and the field goal percentage way down. Again, his field goal percentage is so low this year, it's really impacting his overall value. So we can be a little bit forgiving, hopefully. Some people are dropping Tyson Chandler. If he's dropped, I'm definitely looking to add him, but it hasn't been a successful transition. What about Markieff Morris? He's back from the knee injury. He started, he played 29 minutes, 6-5 with 3 steals, and the shooting is just not good from him this season. He's shooting 37%. He's 10% worse than what he was shooting last year. Otherwise, the numbers aren't horrible. 12.2 points, 0.8 threes, 5 rebounds, a steal, half a block. They're not far away from the numbers from last season. And I've seen a lot of people, you know, talking about how he's been dropped in their league. Oh, I'm grabbing him. Now, there could be a couple of things here. Is he that mentally distraught about being split up from his brother? If so, grow up. If that's not the case, he's being a petulant bitch and he needs to stop doing that as well because his brother got traded. Deal with it. You're a professional. You're making money. Just get on with it and play and hit your shots. At least he's going out there. He's playing minutes. He's getting some of the other numbers. I still have faith that he brings it around to being that top 80 sort of player. But for now, you can get him really cheap. You might be able to scoop him off waivers. And I'm relatively confident. I'm not super confident, but I'm relatively confident he can bounce back to being a more 2014 Markieff Morris than what we've been seeing so far. All right, that is it for the daily portion. Well, not the daily portion, for the recap portion of the show. It is time for a quick break, and then I'll be back with the DFS portion of the show. And no, I won't forget to put up the daily fantasy plays. I saw ya. Thank you to Bryce Whitney for his band providing that song for the interim. If you don't know what happens during that interim, I just grab a drink. That's all. Before I did the podcast live, what I was able to do is when I was recording solo, is pause it, have a drink, and go back into it. Doing it live and streaming it live means I've got to talk nonstop for an hour, and the old throat gets a little bit dry. So nice little intermission in the middle. Have a drink, get myself prepared as we transition into the second part of the show, and that is looking at daily fantasy value. There are only three games on, so there's not as much variation, not as many options, but there's still some things to talk about daily fantasy wise. Anyway, the first game is the Sacramento Kings and the Miami Heat. The Heat are favored by 7.5 with a total of 199.5, so sort of slap bang in the middle. I've marked DeMarcus Cousins questionable for this game because of the league reviewing that elbow he threw onto Al Horford. And if he gets suspended, obviously he's not going to play. So that's something to bear in mind for this game. I like Justice Winslow's value. He's priced at 3,700, so he's really low. But he's been averaging 18.6 points the last five games. And that's almost enough for a nice, solid, low-priced cash game small forward. Winslow has some value. Dwayne Wade going up against the Kings. He was really bad in the last game. Not a great performance from Wade at all, but at 6,700, he's not expensive. It's a Thursday. He might get himself up for this, so have a look there. If there is no DeMarcus Cousins, Kostas Koufos gets a significant bump. He's priced at 3,800. Even if Cousins is playing well, he put up 22 points today, which well exceeds that value. So he's worth a look as well. And Cousins is at 10,700. He's the best big price guy on the board today. If he plays, he should be able to put up some pretty nice numbers. Even though he's going up against Hassan Whiteside, Whiteside has allowed the opposition centers to get some pretty decent fantasy point numbers. I don't mind Goran Dragic now that he's slipped at 5,700. He was really good in the last game. Well, he was really better in the last game than what he'd been previously. So he's someone that's worth a look. And Hassan Whiteside at 8,600 has obviously been fantastic this year, averaging 42.5 points over the last five. It's 2,000 less than what DeMarcus Cousins has been giving you. You're probably going to get less than DeMarcus Cousins, but there's a chance that he outscores Cousins as well for 2,000 less. So there's a bit of value there in him. Rudy Gay, I'd be avoiding. Same with Rajon Rondo and Darren Collison. And Chris Bosh at 7,900. He's been putting up some pretty good numbers. He was a little bit quiet in the last one. I don't hate him in this matchup against the Kings. I think there's a little bit of something to look forward to with him. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Cleveland Cavaliers is the next game. The Cavs are favored by 9.5. The total is 194.5. This is not ideal for daily fantasy. OJ Mayo is probable to play his first game of the season. We don't expect too much out of him, clearly. And Jabari Parker is now questionable for this game. After being ruled out, they say he could make a return. The presence of Parker, or the absence of Parker, doesn't really do much to change the Bucks daily fantasy value, so I'm not too worried there. And if you're in a seasonal league, I don't think that Parker's a must-own player at this point. He's still going to be limited. He's still, like, this foot thing reeked of overcompensatory issues with the knee, and that worries me a little bit. They're going to have to be cautious with him. I am not I'm not all over, and I think that the upside is what, maybe top 100, maybe. I don't think that that's, you know, worth stashing and worth, you know, riding through a whole lot of zeros for. Kevin Love at 7,800 is a pretty good value play here. He's been putting in some decent performances, over 37 in his last five. And LeBron James at 10,100. If you're not going to spend it on Cousins because he gets suspended, then LeBron James is definitely someone you can spend that big money on. He's averaging 47 in his last five. He's had a 60-point game in those last five as well. Jared Bayless, I don't think that OJ Mayo really hurts him, especially for this game. 4,400, his price has risen, so that takes a little bit of the edge off him. But if he gives you 25 fantasy points, I think you're pretty happy. And he's been averaging almost 30 over the last five games. He's been putting up some really, really big numbers. I don't mind Chris Middleton at 5,600, but the rest of these other guys, I don't think it's an awesome situation in a spread that's almost 10 points and a very low total. Giannis Antetokounmpo at 6,900. I'm leaving him alone. Same with Greg Monroe. Even though Monroe is now under 7,800, there's a little bit you can look at there. And he has played well against Cleveland in the past. I think that it's an okay gamble, but he's definitely slowing down from the way that he started off the season. The last game is the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Clippers. The Warriors are favored by 7. The total is massive. It is 212.5. The Clippers, though, they're going to be most likely without Chris Paul and JJ Redick, and that obviously means that their team is not as good. But it opens up daily fantasy value for quite a few of their guys. The Warriors are also got Klay Thompson, who's still dealing with that back problem. He's probable, and Sean Livingston is questionable with his hip complaint. Onto the value plays in this game. Austin Rivers at 3,800, Jamal Crawford at 4,400, and Paul Pierce at 3,700 are all probably the picks of the bunch. Rivers and Crawford really really standing tall above both of these guys, above Paul Pierce, I guess. Rivers and Crawford at their salaries, I think they're awesome, and the Warriors actually let up a lot of fantasy points to opposition point guards and shooting guards, so I think they're both in really, really good positions. Klay Thompson at some point is going to have a good game. At 6,400, I don't mind him in this one. There's a little bit to be gained from him here. 4,700 for Iguodala is not a bad price. Same with Harrison Barnes at 5,100. Both of those guys are okay. Blake Griffin, 9,700. He's pretty good when Chris Paul doesn't play. He put up 61 in the last one. He's almost a must play at that price. Yes, he's only averaged 43.6, but in the last game, 61 against the Warriors team, where you hope that he's going to be going super aggressive to make it close. The score gets rung up. I think that we could see a 55-point plus night for Blake Griffin. DeAndre Jordan at 7,600. No, I don't think so. Just hasn't been bringing it of late, averaging only 27 in his last three games. And Steph Curry at 11,000, that's very expensive. But he's going against Austin Rivers and Jamal Crawford, so maybe Steph Curry can absolutely destroy them. So you know there's always a big chance of Curry going big. He's averaging over 50 in his last three. But you know what? At 11,000, you want him to go more than 50. You want him to be at 55, that sort of range. And that might be a little bit difficult. So there are definitely a couple of big price guys on the board today. DeMarcus Cousins and Blake Griffin are probably my picks above Steph Curry, but it is hard to ignore Steph. Draymond Green struggled with that illness in the last game, 7,900. I don't mind him getting back on track here, though, at 7,900. That's a pretty good price, I think, for Draymond Green. All right, that is it for the games. And look, I'm not going to forget, I'm going to put up the daily fantasy picks for the day. It's only three games on, so there's a couple times you see me listed there with no one, because that means I just don't like anyone at that spot. For the point guards, Austin Rivers at 3,800 is the best value bargain play. Goran Dragic at 5,700 and Steph Curry at 11,000. For shooting guards, Jamal Crawford at 4,400. Dwayne Wade at 6,700, and there is no high-priced shooting guard that's even playing in these three games. Small forwards, Justice Winslow at 3,700, Harrison Barnes at 5,100, and LeBron James at 10,100 are your small forwards. There are, in terms of power forwards, I've listed no one there. There are power forwards that are playing that are less than 5,000, but I don't like any of them. The best one who came up in my mind was Josh Smith, and I'm definitely not playing him in DFS. Kevin Love at 7,800 is a nice sort of mid-price guy, and Blake Griffin at 9,700, the best of the expensive players. Kostas Koufos at 3,800 is probably the best bargain center, especially if DeMarcus Cousins is out. Andrew Bogut at 5,200, I like. And of course, DeMarcus Cousins at 10,700. He rounds out the day. All right, we are done for today. Don't forget, moneyball.com.au, the No Halftime app. Use that promo code DUNK. They're the two supporters of this program. So make sure you in turn go and support them and help me out. Leave a review on iTunes and become a sponsor yourself for a day. There's always basketballmonster.com. There is always hardwoodparoxysm.com. So there's a lot of places you can find my stuff. And you can find a lot of quality work on all those websites as well. If you didn't know, my name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Ah, my sound's gone. See ya.